Welcome to Catholic Moms in the Middle, a podcast for midlife moms who want to live their lives in a way that creates a legacy of faith, hope, and love. In this show, I will equip and encourage you to become the person you were created to be by discovering your identity as a beloved daughter of God. This discovery allows you to live your unique God-given purpose to bring hope, joy, and healing to those around you. My goal is to help you encounter the love of the Father, to find healing and transformation through the Holy Spirit, so that you can courageously magnify Christ in your marriage, with your children, in your communities, and with everyone you encounter in your daily life. Hey friends, I'm Jenny Gwen, and this is Catholic Moms in the Middle. So today, we are going to talk about discipleship. We're going to talk about what discipleship looks like for women and how, even though sometimes discipleship can seem a little intimidating or overwhelming, what would you say? Who would you talk to? We're going to talk about all of that so that you are comfortable going out and sharing your faith, maybe in new ways, in bold ways. And to have this discussion with me today, I have my new friend, Jenny Wiswell. We met through a mutual acquaintance, Father Mark Nolte. Jenny lives in Omaha, Nebraska, and we talked last week and realized that we have so much in common, that we both want to equip and encourage women to become the person that God has created them to be, so that then they can go out and magnify Christ in their world, whatever it looks like, their marriage, with their family, and their church community. And so to tell you a little bit about Jenny, for the past two decades, she has been partnering with Jesus to bring about revival, transformation, and healing in the Catholic Church. Her greatest joy is to walk with men and women as they discover the love of their Heavenly Father. She also has a particular heart for helping women and mothers discover their identity and beauty as they grow as disciples of Jesus. Jenny currently serves as the Director of Evangelization and Discipleship for St. Gerald Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Her greatest mission field, though, is being wife to Travis and mother of five amazing daughters who range in age from 19 to 9. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Just reading that about you makes me tired. You are really doing the work of the Lord.
Yeah, well, I got teary-eyed just for saying that because I'm like, Lord is so good. He's so good.
Yeah, so good. And it's so amazing. Just talking to you, I can tell you have this desire to work for the Lord. I can see that in your energy, and that is what you desire to do. And when you do that, and when you go where He leads, it's the best feeling in the world.
It is. There is, you know, you can't fake your way in ministry, right? And I'm just so grateful, like, even that, just during that emotion of my heart, because, you know, that's been, while I am tired, and He's called me in lots of different ways, I mean, it truly is my greatest joy to see people meet Him. And He placed that in my young heart as a young adult to really help people to come alive in their faith, to know Him in a deep way, to experience the joy and the freedom that He wants, not just, you know, after we die, but now. Like, He wants us to really live abundantly. And I love the mission of your ministry. I love the name. I love the, you know, women being called to magnify the Lord, because that is what He's called us to be. Our greatest identity is to live as praises for the Lord. That is actually a verse out of Ephesians. We are called to live as at the praise of God's glory. So it has just been such a joy to walk with people and to see them experience the love of God and the transformation that happens when they meet Him in a deeper way.
So you can just see that realization in their eyes, and you just know that God has touched them in a new and profound way.
Yes, yes.
Very much. So you're very active in Alpha, and I actually learned about Alpha through Father Mark. It's not commonly known here within the Nashville diocese. I had never really heard of it. And so tell us about Alpha.
In 2017, I was invited to come back on with this evangelization team. And we started, at that point, we really started to learn about Father James Mallon and his work on divine renovation for parishes. So I started learning about it from that standpoint. And in 2018, then received training and we launched it as a startup, basically from grassroots, really from the parish. When I went to Alpha, I knew when I learned about the values of Alpha, I learned about the content of Alpha, how it was designed. I knew with all of my being that this was where God was inviting me to step into. And I believe really a tool the church really needed to embrace. Now there are other tools. We call them conversion engines. We call Alpha conversion engine around here. And there are other ones, but I thought that the materials were just so good for helping people who are not only people who go to church in the Catholic Church, but people who are on the outside of the church, who have lost trust with the church, or they weren't raised in the church. And Alpha can really meet all of those people because we are always in need of conversion. So I've been running Alpha since 2018. And have seen so many lives changed. I've seen the culture of the church change because of Alpha.
When I was working in the parish, we ran the Alpha program. We started it in the fall of 2019. We had over 100 people sign up. We had 5 or 6 groups going throughout the week. And we finished with a beautiful Holy Spirit retreat. But then COVID happened. You know, but so we lost our momentum and it was hard to go back and pick it up. But I saw firsthand how Alpha changes lives.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes we get the resistance of, well, it's not Catholic. Now, Alpha is ran in a Catholic context, but the videos are the exact same. Sure. But when we run it in our Catholic context, you know, there are nuances that we make to it, or we might explain things in a little different. But essentially, it's the main thing that we believe as Christians. And one of those main things is that relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person who desires to be in relationship with us, who desires to live in us and for us to bear fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, and to be set on fire and to be given gifts. And I feel like that is what makes Alpha so unique, is that it's not catechesis geared towards transformation of the heart. In a way that is very gentle. And the values that Alpha, it's very much about honesty and welcome and hospitality and walking with people where they're at and not, you know, teaching, allowing the videos to do the teaching, but the culture at the table is that, you know, you allow people to be honest and they may come in with all different questions and beliefs. You may have someone who is a devout Catholic with someone who's agnostic at your table, but the value of being able to share and to trust each other. And to walk along and to see, you know, what God is going to do through this. Because often what I'm finding is when people come to Alpha who have been away from the church, it's not the problem with God that they have, it's with the false God that they've been believing in.
Right.
And so Alpha allows kind of those walls to drop gradually and gently, but it's the Holy Spirit weekend that makes a difference. We can't force conversion. Conversion is always a gift. And it comes about through the Holy Spirit.
So let's talk about discipleship. Like I said earlier, I think it's one of those terms that people aren't, it means a lot of different things. I think sometimes in the Christian context, it can be an umbrella term. Yeah. There's a lot of things that fall underneath it. So let's talk about discipleship within the Catholic Church. And more importantly, discipleship for women. What does that look like?
Okay. Well, a lot of times people are confused as to what is the difference between catechesis and evangelization and discipleship and these words that we're using? So I think that's a good place to start too, is what is the difference between catechesis and evangelization? Evangelization is focusing on that encounter, on that, the proclamation of the gospel, of that being able to understand what Jesus is offering in terms of he desires that relationship. And there's a surrender in evangelization, even without understanding all the different teachings. There's an acceptance that Jesus is Lord. Now, the church used to, you know, be heavily focused on catechesis. And so the problem was we were catechizing people who are not yet intentional disciples. And so we were falling flat on things, and we weren't forming them fully in what it means to be a disciple. So catechesis is really important, and I would say catechesis is part of discipleship, but there's lots of other aspects that we have to work on to experience a transformed life, which is really what the goal of discipleship is. It's really about abiding in Jesus and learning what that means when Jesus says, remain in me and I'll remain in you. And without me, you will bear no fruit. We cannot bear fruit unless we are being transformed by him. I really use John 15 as my model of what discipleship is, which is the vine and the branches imagery. Remaining in him, allowing his life in us to grow. And, you know, like I said, there's different aspects that we have to focus and grow in. But that's been a huge part, too, of the work that I've been called to do, is to help people who have encountered Jesus now grow as disciples.
One of the things that I've seen through in working with ministry is that there's the sense of learning about the faith, like knowing the theology, knowing the textbook, or like knowing the teachings, which is all great. Like, that's an important part of the faith. But I believe that knowing in your heart who Christ is, and that gives you the desire to learn about the faith. Like, if you can know all of these things, yet you don't truly know who Christ is. So then learning about the faith and the sacraments, unless you know Christ, unless you know your identity as a daughter of God, then all of this other stuff is just like head knowledge. But it's when you know Christ, you know your identity, it becomes heart knowledge.
Very much so. And I think a really key part of that is prayer. So one of the only thing that we have recorded by the disciples in the Gospels in terms of them asking the Lord to teach them was one thing. They said, Lord, teach us to pray.
Right.
But Jesus was giving lots of teachings, but the one thing that they desired was to learn how to pray in the way that Jesus did, because that's intimacy. And that draws us into God in a deeper way. That's where communion happens. That's where our transformation happens. So there has to be that movement from our knowledge to the transformation. Are we willing to, you know, we can know lots of things, but do we really, you know, why do we keep, you know, confessing the same things over and over again? Are we allowing God to transform us through our surrender and our abandonment into his love and trusting him enough? You know, do I trust you enough that this really will make me happy, Lord, if I just obey and lay down my life and let you live in me in the way that you're asking to live in me? So definitely I would say that, you know, it's discipleship is about the heart's transformation. And I think looking at your prayer life, you know, your prayer life is really that measure of your discipleship. And there are times, obviously, in our prayer where we can feel distant from God, and that's all normal. But our desire to pray is a real measure of our level of discipleship, I think. And then I was going to say another really great tool to measure kind of where you're at and your you know, life as a disciple is to look at the way you're loving people. Because again, when it all boils down to all of Jesus's teaching, two greatest commandments, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So all of the practices that we do in the Catholic Church, which there are an infinite amount of ways, right? Our spirituality is so diverse and beautiful, but it all really boils down to faith. You know, at the end of our life, how well have we loved?
Absolutely.
And how well we allowed him to love through us. And so that is at the heart of what discipleship is as well, is how well am I loving you? How well am I loving others?
I love how you say that it all begins with prayer, because I was recently listening to a leader in the healing ministry, and she was talking about how people get caught up in all the gifts. Like, I want the gift of healing. I want the gift of discernment. And you do have this desire to do these things for God. But she said, you know, when you look at those people who are, you know, have the gift of healing, or they have these certain gifts and they're acting in them, the root of it came from their prayer life. So what they were doing, when you see people moving powerfully for God and who seem to be making a difference and people are listening, that it all begins in what they do hidden in their prayer life. And that's what equips them to go out and do those things.
Amen. That's so beautiful. Yes, absolutely. One of the ways we grow as a disciple is when we start off initially, we often love God for what he gives us.
Right.
And as we grow as disciples, we love God for who God is. And that's the goal, is we are so focused on him. You know, our worship is so pure that we forget about ourselves. We decrease, he increases, as
absolutely
Epis says. And that is when we can fall away from our self-reliance, that is when he is glorified and magnified the most. I mean, that with Mary, right, was like letting go of that reliance. I don't understand this, but I'm just going to surrender my life to you. So absolutely, I would say that is a biblical, that theme runs all through the New Testament. We are jars of clay and it's his power in us. We are human though. And so we obviously have lots of healing to,
right?
Laughing because I just think about all the self-reliance in my life, right? But it's his work in us, and it's gentle because the Lord is very gentle, and he understands us, and he understands our histories and our worth, and he heals us of that over time. And that comes through that commitment to prayer, the discipline of prayer. So being a disciple requires discipline. I mean, those words are related. You know, a disciple is a student, and their master, our teacher, is our Lord, who invites us into these disciplines. So there's a cost. You know, discipleship there's a cost to it, and there's a pain of it, because it requires us to no longer live for ourselves, but to live with him and for him, which is why I love Lent so much, because it's just a reminder, you know, of the disciplines and coming back to the disciplines. So, and that's one of our pieces that we're working on, is how are we helping walk with people and to teach them as students of the Lord these disciplines? How does transformation happen through our relationship with Christ? It's not just by going to classes. It's about the disciplines and the rule of life, basically, in your day.
Right. Right. So let's talk about discipleship and women, because I believe that as midlife women, that women who love the faith and we love our Catholic faith and we want everybody to be a part of it. And I look back and I see how my children have fallen away from the faith. As much as I love the faith and they were raised in the Catholic Church and went to Catholic schools, they're still falling away. And so I think there's this need for us as midlife women, like, we've got to shake things up. We have to do things differently. What we've done is not working. And so I think we're called to not only help other women, but ultimately the big goal is to form this army of moms who are going to go out and just start bringing people back to Jesus.
Amen. Yes. Gosh, there's so much there with that. Women, so first of all, women, they set the tone in their homes. They're a compass for their children. But our children have free will. And so we have to live in this tension of, like, this great responsibility and this great burden we feel as mothers, because we were created to nurture and to bring life in all different areas, and the people that, you know, are in our lives, our children, biological children, spiritual children, whatever. But we also have to recognize we can't grasp too tightly, and we have to let them go, you know, that balance. But I think that women, they are the dynamite to evangelization, because again, they set the temperature in their homes, and they set the direction a lot of times for the priorities of their children. I feel like women are not even aware of just the impact that they can have on the faith, on the church, on the life of the church, to the same degree that, like, the Lord is wanting to shine light on that. I know just being a woman in ministry, sometimes it's, you know, especially when I work with evangelical brothers and sisters, they're always like, what's that like to be a woman in the Catholic Church in leadership? And I just say, it's very interesting. But right. I know that I see the giftings I bring to an all-male leadership team. I see the feminine genius. And that's not saying, like, women, it has nothing to do with women are better than men or whatever. It's just recognizing. I think women don't even recognize their beautiful giftings and how important they are to the body of Christ.
Amen.
You need to disciple women and let them know, like, let this shine. We can correct, right? There's again, the opposite of our, what we are strongest in can become our weakness. So we always have to kind of recognize, you know, again, we want to pour out and nurture, but the side effect, the negative side effect is we can grasp control. But yes, I think helping women discover their giftings, their beauty as women, and their impact is a huge part of disciplining women.
For a woman who's listening and thinking, I'm not really holy enough or smart enough, I have too much brokenness, or, you know, this thing that I did years ago, I can't really be a disciple. What would you say to that?
I would say, first of all, that the Lord uses the weak and the broken. I mean, you look at who he drew near him, and who did he appear first to? Who were the first, really, you know, the first ones to bring the good news of his resurrection were women. And women were ministering to him. Like, the Lord was ministered to by women. And through that, he transformed them. So I would say, don't ever excuse yourself from what the Lord can do in your own heart by coming to him with that openness, because he desires your healing. Then to say, the Lord is the one that magnified the vocation and the beauty of women. He's the one that changed it all, you know, in the history of how women were treated. If it weren't for Christianity, I mean, who knows how women would be treated? We were nothing.
Right.
And so he raised our dignity. He drew us back to the original Adam and Eve, and how we were destined to be viewed by men and how we were to be treated, because that's the way that God views us. So I would say, you know, don't listen to the lies. Allow the Lord to heal you, and allow the Lord to use you in your particular mission fields, whether that's the home, whether it's whatever, you know, whatever calling he's given you, whatever, wherever you're at, he wants your particular feminine gifts and beauty to be used for the kingdom in a very specific and unique way that's different than men.
Yes. And I think it's important for women. So many women that I see in my coaching and leading retreats, they feel like they don't have spiritual gifts. I think it's being willing and open to allow God to reveal those gifts, to partnering with the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes it's uncertain. You don't know, like, gosh, what if I'm called to, like, drop everything and go around the world? Or, you know, what if I manifest the Spirit in a way that sets me apart and makes me look different? But so I think it's being confident in God and surrendering, allowing him to use you and to let your gifts be seen in the world.
And I would agree with women too. I think you used the word hidden before. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is, it's so key to understanding that most of our discipleship, most of our time with the Lord and serving the Lord may be hidden from what the world is, especially in the Catholic Church, you know, is, you know, no matter, like, you know, the way that the model is right now, our priests are the mouthpiece. You know, I could work someplace for 15 years and they still don't know I'm on staff, or they still, you know, like, what the priest says is the most important. And right. So there's a lot of hiddenness. And that's okay. I mean, the Lord, he is, there's so much beauty in that, what I want to say, that he may be using you in ways that the world will never know. But he's using you in profound ways, because if you are a mother, you're impacting the lives of your children. You're impacting eternity, and that ripple effect. If he's using you as a grandfather, the neighbor, whatever, you're a spiritual mother no matter what, because that's what your heart was made for, is to nurture, to be generous, to be sensitive to other people. And so that hiddenness is really part of, I think, really the heart and vocation of a woman. And that's not to downplay. It's not downplaying the role of women. It's just an aspect of ourselves. Like Mary, I mean, Mary, no one knew who Mary was. She was hidden. And yet she changed the world by her yes, and by the small hidden ways that she was constantly serving the Lord. He may call certain women out, you know, to be more public, or to be used in more public ways. But to not grow bitter about that, you know, to not grow in that hiddenness, because that's where the transformation really happened. I know at St. Gerald, one of the things that we're starting up, we call them discipleship quads, and we're basing them on the model of Steubenville. Franciscan University does discipleship quads for their students. they're for, you know, parishes as well. So we've been tweaking and adapting to fit into parish life, but we have women discipling women and men discipling men because they're different. And the way that we experience God is a little different. And the way we talk about God is a little different. And it's really important that women can nurture each other in that way that's distinct from men, and to build and encourage them. So I work with three moms and we meet every 2 weeks. I'm just always blown away. I'm blown away by like the generosity of their hearts and like the amount of stretching that women have to do in their life. Like their capacity is just, I'm just blown away. The priests here always tease me. They're just like, Jenny, you're multitasking as we're talking to you. I know you are. I'm like, yep, I am. But you know what? I can actually multitask because God's given me that grace. It's just the capacity of women to do so much good in so many ways. And a lot of it is hidden.
I love that. I think that's so comforting because the world doesn't want you to be hidden, right? The world thinks you should be an influencer or should be known according to the world's standards. But so if you think about it, like discipleship and your faith life, it can be hidden. Like what you're doing can be hidden. It can happen within your family or just within a small group, and you don't have to get the praise and the acknowledgement. So,
and I would say too, for women, sorry, one other thing was women are incredible intercessors because of our desire to nurture. We can nurture from afar and we nurture through our prayer. You know, like this fierce love that women carry in their hearts for people carries over. Like our prayer team by far have way more women than men.
Right.
I mean, just all, like every parish I've served in, it's women that are, they are the intercessors, you know? It's really incredible.
Yes. The time has gone by so fast. I think we could keep talking. I have a feeling this is the first of maybe several podcasts that are shows that we can do together. So thank you for being here. And as we close, would you be willing to close us in prayer?
Absolutely. Loving Father, thank you so much for this time. And Father, I thank you for just this encouraging word that you have shared through this podcast for women that are listening, for anyone who is listening, Lord, that the more that we can surrender our lives to you, God, that you will be magnified. You will be magnified through all the little ways that we say yes, all the hidden ways that we say yes. Father, I ask for your abundant graces on those who are listening, God, that they are struggling to surrender areas of their life to you because of the lie that they just aren't sure that they can trust you, God. I ask for that grace right now for them. I ask for that beautiful mercy in their life right now. Father, I would ask that you would bring into their lives someone to accompany them in their journey, that you would raise up mature disciples, women who can mentor other women, who can walk alongside, that you would stir in people's hearts just a greater desire to walk among those who are seeking more of you. And Mother Mary, we ask your intercession for us, that we may have hearts that say yes to you in the big and the very small and hidden way. We ask this, Jesus, all through your holy and beautiful and powerful name. Amen.
Amen. That was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Again, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your insight and wisdom, especially what you've learned discipling other women. Hopefully this show will encourage other women that even if it seems hidden, if it seems mundane or that it doesn't matter, that their work matters, the way that God is calling them matters, and it's changing lives. It may not realize it until we get to heaven and are able to see how all of those tiny little choices impact others, but it makes a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Thank you again, Jenny.
All right,
friends, until we meet again next week, go out and magnify Christ in your little corner of the world. God bless.
To learn more about my ministry for midlife women, go to CatholicMomsInTheMiddle.com. And be sure to check out Magnify, my online community for women, where you will grow deeper in your faith. You'll find inner healing in areas where you have struggled for years, and you'll be equipped and encouraged to become the person God has called you to be so that you can go out and magnify Christ in the world. The music for this podcast was written by Sean Williams, Catholic composer and musician. You'll find more of Sean's original music at musicbyseanwilliams.com. That is music by S-H-A-W-N Williams.com.